KEA LAX, statewide 1.
Good morning, Dean. NAWRO here. Heading to school, I believe, for a drop-off.
Yeah, on my way back from a drop-off. Good morning. How are you doing?
Can't complain. Sorry I had to drop out of the meeting, but I see you got the briefing from John. So the follow-up on that was, this is what I've always wanted to know. When Dave, if we know Dave's working and you want him to do something for, next time he's doing ARPS work, just send him an email instead of Discord or the other app that they mentioned. But if you want something right away, then Discord, he kind of feels like he's obligated to take a look at it.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I was in the I was just on the other side of the Algonac State Park, helping out a fellow business try to get a car programmed, and was right on the other side of the Algonac State Park, right on the river, and I didn't have service to save my life, and what I did get was spotty at best.
Copy that. We figured something happened. We're thinking, well, this is not RF, but yet and it's all the more problematic when we're having trouble with that Discord anyways. And then if you get in a sketchy area with no Wi-Fi service, internet, it makes it all the worse. So you had to do what you had to do. But John gave a good synopsis, so we're good. And then the main organizational meeting will be next Monday. I think the site is going to be to be determined, but we'll see.
Fair enough. I was hoping to make that double nickel thing last night, but by the time I got done and got back around, I was so exhausted. I was like, yeah, no. So while I was working, I sent that quick message, and yeah, John covered it pretty good, which I kind of figured that was the basis of that discussion. I was just more or less curious of what was said. So it works. And I was trying to speak, but I wasn't able to. But I've been kind of helping John. Go through and test some of these things and, see what we can do, what we can't do, what permissions have to be changed, that kind of stuff, and been helping him with some of his log projects and trying to test some of that stuff to make sure it's ready to roll out when we do need it. And after thinking more about our discussion, before the meeting, I thought that just being able to respond to those boxes was just fine. But I wasn't able to say that.
Yeah, I believe that's where it ended up at. I understand John's doing a lot and he just needs a little guidance. Am I going in the right direction? Even though we're kind of standing still in one regard because we don't have the actual document yet, but, as soon as we get it, he's got to be prepared to roll. That's what he's doing. And appreciate you doing some beta testing with him, getting that, making use of this so-called dead time, because it's not really dead time. He's real busy. So, hopefully we'll get that soon and we'll be official. And it'll still be a process, though. It's not going to be a night and day difference. We're still going to have, I'm sure we're going to have multiple organizational meetings rather than just like one meeting. Okay, we're ready to go. Going to take a little bit to get the bylaws passed, and so we're getting there. We're making progress.
Yeah, I agree. We'll do all right. I don't really like considering it dead time because we still do have the trial. So getting prepared and getting stuff ready to roll out. It is still a necessity. If we just sit still, we're wasting good, and that's probably a worse idea. So, but no, he's got some good stuff there, and so far he's got it set up really nice. I'm liking some of what he's doing. So, well, actually, I shouldn't say some, all. He's doing some awesome stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he laid it out so that the two top bosses have a better understanding of what he's doing. And so, I have to say, I think, well, I was impressed. I know that, but I expected it from John. And I knew that it appeared that Mike was impressed, and he knows better what John's doing, and the way that John explained it, he knows. If he didn't know before, he knows now that John has a lot of capabilities. So hopefully he's listening and has getting really big right now and stuff like that. But let's see, other than that, we got, two things going on. We're running the normal show in our different areas, but then also we have to do double duty for the time being to get the 501c3 all situated. So anyways, it sounded good. Heard you out here. I figure I'd say hey, and that you're on an early morning run. NAWRO, back over to you.
Sorry, I have a little bit of a back bump there. I appreciate it, and we'll get it figured out in due time. I know things are a little weird and wonky also with the holidays past and the holidays around the corner. There's going to be a lot of wonky stuff. So I was looking at the net log, and it looks like the next time I'm up, I believe when I looked was Christmas, so that one's canceled. So there's going to be a lot of stuff to figure out and play around with, but we'll get there for sure. But I just got back to the house, so I'm gonna say sip some cookies and pop the computer on and be for some of these places to open, because I got to go back to that shop today. So I'm gonna try to get a little bit of work done on the computer before I have to head out. So 7-3s, but I'll be monitoring all day if anyone needs me. This is KE8LAX. I'll be clearing the final.
Copy that, Dean. I'll be monitoring all three as well. This is NAWRO. Clear this QSO.
KE8KJO. Monitor. K-E-8-1.
KE8WUO. How's Tom doing today?
Well, after spending 4 hours in a prison programming doors, you can't get any further. Now I'm heading out to Ypsilanti.
Gotcha. Sounds like a not so fun day. I guess driving is better than being in prison, so hopefully that's an improvement in the situation, but that's no fun. Hopefully it goes better. But I did have a question for you. I was wondering what, with you doing the inventory, how likely is it that you'll have a laptop with you often? And is you carrying a barcode scanner? I'm thinking that's going to be kind of a pain in the butt, but I'm just kind of curious on your take on that and whether or not that's something that you're excited about.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they check it out with me, like I said, but of course, all depends on what the equipment is and how we want to proceed in checking it out. Because having them at ComSec, that's not a possibility for security reasons. So having three over at EC and then three others over at the DEC, then whatever else we're going to have in inventory, we're going to have vests, or safety hats or anything like that. How comes I'm not, since we're 501c3, we got to keep track of all that stuff, especially for using month to purchase all this equipment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I kind of do, and that's what I'm getting at is, you know, right now we're working towards creating a database and like a barcoding system so that we can easily check stuff in and out. However, you know, when I really think about your workflow, I would have to assume that more often than not, you would be adjusting inventory without a barcode handy, you know. And like you said, like if Mike or Dave has these go boxes, I assume they're going to text you and say, you know, hey, I got, you know, X such and such go box over to, you know, John, K-E-A-W-U-O, and you're going to have to adjust the inventory. But if you don't have the object in front of you to scan, or my badge to scan, you're going to have to do it manually. So I'm kind of thinking that we can implement the barcode stuff for when it makes sense, but there's going to be times where, you know, we need to do it another way. And it kind of gets me thinking, will you ever use a barcode scanner? Because it might just be easier to use it the other way. But my laptop, I always bring with me. It does have a barcode scanner on it, so I can easily, you know, make use of that functionality. But whether or not anyone else will, I don't know.
Well, the barcode, I mean, checking it out, like I said, we have a sheet of the inventory of the equipment that's in the go pit. And currently right now is have that checklist where it says checking out, condition, you know, things like that. So I, you know, blah, 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 hereby receive this equipment in good working order. I have checked the inventory, and the following are in the go kit as described. You know, one antenna, a plate for the, you know, plate for the antenna, the radio, you know, power supply, stuff like that, with the model numbers. You know, the model number of the radio, an IC7300 or a TYTMB9600 kind of thing. You know, that way it's all there. The person checking out has to physically look at the equipment that is in that go kit. And they have to confirm an initial that they see it in there. And then whoever's checking out, whether it be Dave, myself, or Mike, they would initial, okay, they sat there and they went through the equipment, you know, with the operator that wants to check it out. Now, when it comes back, then I'll go, you know, either me, Dave, or Mike will receive the equipment back. And on the bottom of the sheet, it says, I have received this equipment, date, whatever time. I physically checked the inventory and stated it, you know, whatever else. And go through the same checklist. This is good. This is good. Oh, microphone is broken. But when given to you, the microphone was good. So but if it's damaged when it comes back or the part's missing, the person that checked it out needs to be responsible of what it is.
Copy that. This is K-E-A-W-U-O. I kind of think I haven't seen that sheet, and I assume that is just a sheet that exists or lives with each go box in some way, or, you know, or whatnot. But I think what I'm talking about is a little bit different in the sense that we want like a central database that shows where everything's at. And so when you, Mike, or Dave checks a radio out to a member, we need to document that somewhere. And that's where the barcode scanning was coming into play. Because kind of what you're talking about, you know, there's no barcode scanning. There's nothing in that system, as far as I can tell, that would even tell the rest of the group who has that radio. I assume that document lives, like I said, I guess, with the Go Box and travels with it. And I like that system. That seems like a really good idea and a logical system. I like what it's doing. I'm not sure that leaving that form with the radio makes perfect sense, but it does at the same time. I just worry that somebody could alter it while they're in possession of it, but that's kind of neither here nor there. My main concern is, like, I don't think anyone's really talked to you about how we're going to check stuff in or out from a local, you know, database where we can all see, you know, where everything is at a glance. Like, I can pull up and see all the Motorola radios are checked out and who has them, you know, from one local, one complete, you know, comprehensive spreadsheet. And then the same would be true for the go boxes and, like you said, safety vests and stuff like that. So I think we're talking roughly about the same things, but a little bit, like, kind of differently, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, hold that thought for a second. I got a manager just calling me. I'll be right back. Don't go nowhere. KCKGO.
NAWRO.
Howdy, howdy, sir. Top of the morning to you.
How's it going, John? I'm following the conversation and concur with you. What you're saying is you've got two things. There was a manual checkout method, kind of like the old-fashioned library book, is the way I thought it was going to go for the manual method, where you'd sign it out, the card would stay with the holder, either Dave or Mike, and then the radio would be gone. But when it comes back, that card is mated back to the radio again in the little pocket like in the book. But I understand your point. How do you digitize that for a scan code when the radios are in remote locations and the keeper is not on that location? It's an interesting problem. Over to you, John.
Yeah, I think the ultimate solution is that, you know, we can't 100% rely on barcodes, and I think that ultimately we won't. You know, for the majority of all checking in and checking out of any materials for the group, unless Dave, Mike, and Tom all carry around the barcode scanner with them everywhere they go, which, you know, there are apps on your phone that could potentially be utilized and stuff like that, but it might be unnecessary complication to the workflow. So, I don't know. It's just kind of something I was kind of trying to feel out what, you know, Tom's understanding of it was and what the actual workflow would look like. But yeah, there is sort of two sides to this. And I like what you said about that form stays with whoever, you know, distributed that item. I kind of like the idea of that form moving to online so that a person doesn't have to bring all these papers with them. And if you come to a meeting, you know, you can log it in at the meeting without having to have all the paperwork with you. But I don't know. It's probably a little too early to really iron out all the details. It's kind of one of those type of things is best built and then kind of adapted as we go. But yeah, I think it's an interesting problem, like you said. And there's a lot of moving parts in that type of situation. And so what is best won't be clear immediately, probably.
I was waiting to see if Tom was back, but yeah, I agree with all of that. It's a brand new procedure. Haven't even really started doing it yet. So I'm glad that you're recognizing maybe let's get the manual procedure in place and try that out first, and then take a look at how do we do it from there, or do we do it from there? I don't know. I think Dave wanted it, but I'm glad you're taking a good close look at it. Does it really need it? Because I like if it's a low turnout, or I should say low volume, you know, we don't always have to computerize everything. It would be nice. It might prove to be needed in the future, but I would say let's do the manual method and then go from there. That's just my two cents. We'll have to see what... He's redoing the tags, right, for the barcode. He wants the tags redone so that there's the option. That's correct, right?
I'm back.
Gotcha. Welcome back, Tom. Tim, to answer your question before I send it over to Tom, I think he is looking at barcoding it. And I think that we need like a manual method like what you guys are kind of talking about. But I think we do need to have a central location that illustrates where all the items are. So I think one of those needs to be digital so that every, you know, Mike can see who has, you know, what items, you know, because we need to have the visibility of where everything is for all of the command staff. So if Wally wants to see who has a certain radio so he can adjust the code plug to show that person as, you know, the holder of that BMR ID, then we can, you know, make adjustments as needed in our code plugs to accommodate that. And so I see two different systems kind of at play here. And I can see the barcode scanning being a viable option for those of us that have a barcode, but for those that don't, we will probably still have a digital procedure where we just type in, you know, the Go Box ID number and the employee or, you know, the member ID number, and that's how we would check that item in and out into the main database, for lack of a better term, so that everybody knows where everything is. So hopefully that makes sense. I'll send it over to you, Tom.
That is 100% what was in my mind. Is the same inventory that we're using for the county radios or for the deployment of the ATTs or the Go Boxes, they're all going to be all in the same. All we got to do is just get like a centralized area or some type of a barcode reader that we can connect to the laptop or Bluetooth or something that when it gets checked out, it gets checked out. The Go Boxes right now, if you know somebody wants to go and just try it and learn it and stuff like that, you know, we'll do the paper method. But if there was an actual time when there was a deployment and we needed to deploy those six radios along with 10 HTs, you know, when we're deployed, we may eventually just, you know, end up like a central location with Brandon. It's okay, you go here, you go here, you go here, you know, and then we get sent out that way. You know, and if that's the case, okay, you're going here with the Go Box, check you out, there you go, take off, you know, kind of thing. Or we pick them up from the county radio room or something like that. But, yeah, we need a centralized inventory because it is county equipment. Even though it's ARPS, they're ARPS radios, so county paid for them. The same thing with 47.2. The amateur radio tower, but it's owned by the county. Kind of thing. So that's kind of like where I was seeing the barcode go. But if we're in class and somebody says, hey, can I check out a radio? Of course, you know, one of us is going to be there with the software on our laptop and a barcode scanner. We can scan it out right there. If somebody wants to call David and say, hey, can I check this out? Then, yeah, we could put the serial number of the barcode in the spreadsheet the ID, 14, and automatically populates the equipment.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, you touched on, you know, the Bluetooth barcode scanner and, you know, having a barcode scanner, and that's kind of where, you know, I think of that as a little bit of a burden for you, you know, is that whenever you deploy, let's say you're riding with Tim again, you would likely need to bring your laptop just in case somebody needs to sign something out while you're out. And then you would need to bring your barcode scanner too. And I'm just not sure that will be easy for you. And so I want to make sure that barcode scanning isn't the only method that we can use to sign something in or out. And my hunch would be that more often than not, we would not be using the barcode method. But just for simplicity's sake and for you to not have to, you know, bring everything with you all the time, I think it would be pretty simple to, you know, like if we had a go kit, you know, if we have go kits 1 through 8, you know, if you type in G1, it would be the equivalent of scanning the barcode, and we know that you're scanning, you know, you're checking out or doing something with whatever go kit 1 is. And then you type in, you know, maybe a member's tactical call sign of 20 for like myself. And then, so, you know, you've scanned G1 and 20. And so now we kind of know that you're assigning G1, go kit 1, to member 20, which would be me. And so we can kind of do that with or without a barcode scanner. And I think it might be easier. It might be even like really simple to do just over the radio is, you know, if you're in a parking lot and you don't have your laptop or your barcode scanner, you can say net control, you know, I assigned G1 to 20, and then it'll take me 2 seconds to put that into the system, you know, type of thing. So hopefully that makes sense.
GTK Joe, makes perfect sense. That's how we do it in the office. You know, I call my inventory handler, and I'm like, hey, I got this part. Can you put it on my truck? He goes, what's the part number? And I go, 5365EGP00. He goes, okay, it's on your truck, 27. I'm like, all right, thank you. And then it populates onto my handheld, take the part out, and it goes on the job.
Makes perfect sense to me, and that's kind of roughly exactly what I want to do. And I do think that kind of reduces the requirement for you to carry a barcode scanner and acquire one, but I still think they might be useful, and it still wouldn't hurt to get them on the badges and, you know, have that as an alternative method. But I'm impartial to it either way. And since Tim hasn't weighed in a while, I'll send it over to you, Tim.
NAWRO, yeah, I've been listening, and that's I'm in agreement on that. You guys all touched on everything I was going to mention, is that just a way to do it without a barcode reader, and like you said, John, you could even do it over the radio and have somebody that happens to have a PC available and access. So I think that's good. We don't, you know, just have an option, and of course continue to do it, put the barcode reader on the badges so we have the option to do it. And naturally, we'd have to run this by EC Dave to explain where we're going with it, but I think we've covered it. And I did notice, looking at the latest edition of the bylaw drafts, that Tom, you and Wally do tend to overlap a little bit on equipment management. So that's another good reason. I think that's what you're alluding to, John, is to have that in a central data. Mike didn't like database, I'm not sure why, but the central data pool, shall we say, that everyone can access. Over to Tom, then over to John. Tom first.
Yep, you touched on it all the way. That's exactly what you said is the way I want to do it.
All right, well, that's what we'll do then. I'll set it up to work either way. And technically, you know, it's kind of old habits die hard when we talk about databases, you know, to a developer and, you know, accountant, or I forget what Mike's position used to be, but I definitely know what he's talking about, and because I've worked with actual SQLite databases and other, you know, Access databases here at work. I know there is a difference between a database and a spreadsheet with a lot of data on it. It's sort of a discussion of semantics, whether or not, you know, you can call it a database. But yeah, I think when you're trying to be specific, you know, a database is something that is different than a spreadsheet with data on it. So I think that's what Mike was getting at, and I think he also wanted to make sure we were heading in the right direction, that when we are talking about databases, we're actually referring to databases and not spreadsheets, because there is a difference there. And the main difference would be, like, how fast and how lightweight that that becomes. You know, an actual database doesn't have any formatting. It's just raw data. It's really lightweight. It's really quickly queryable. Whereas a spreadsheet, you know, tends to have formatting. It tends to be a little heavier on the processing power. It's a little bit trickier to pull data from multiple different applications, especially if it's open or closed. Whereas a database is kind of it's a totally different file. It's queryable whether it's open or closed. It's really lightweight. So I think that's what Mike was alluding to when he argued the point about you know, what a database is and isn't. Because I actually agree with him, and, you know, it's sort of one of those old habits die hard. Like, we've, you know, growing up, you've always referred to a spreadsheet with data on it as your database, but it's technically, in today's definition, not a database. And so with us growing and reaching into different technologies, we should probably make sure that we're calling it the right name, because it does get confusing. But over to you, Ken.
Yeah, I think you did a good job, though, explaining it, or making it clear that you knew the difference last night. So after your presentation, which I know we had to cut a little short, but I think you got the point across that, well, quite frankly, you know what you're doing. So that worked out good. I'm really glad we did it. So, all right, with that, guys, I'll jump out, but I'll still be listening. John, just to let you know, Dave was working on another FDS-98 form, very similar to what we already have, but in Microsoft. And I sent something back to him about how you wanted it queryable. In other words, first name, last name separated, and, you know, maybe consider a suffix. I'm looking at fields that are like a phone number. Hopefully we can format the phone number somehow so that it doesn't just, you know, they don't have options to jumble it all together. Stuff like that. But I don't know if you want to comment on that, you can. But for now, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, what you were describing, John, is perfectly what I was, is exactly what I was looking for. Like I said, is we need some type of central inventory for all of our ARFS equipment, whether it be a set of safety gloves, safety vests, if they're going to require us to have hard hats, you know, anything like that. The radios, the HDs, and the go kits, everything with an inventory number. So if we're inventoried by the county saying, okay, where is this, where is this, where is this, we have tracking data knowing where all of our ARFS equipment is at. So if somebody leaves the group, God forbid, that we make sure that whatever was loaned out or signed out is signed back in, kind of thing. You know, ownership. Ownership and responsibility is what I'm looking for. And the way you described it is, I got it in my mind, but yeah, we have to do it like that so we have the inventory of all that equipment.
Copy that. Well, I will, I'll probably add that to our add-in so that anyone with Excel in front of them could, you know, pretty much anyone on leadership that has the add-in will be able to pull from inventory, view the inventory, adjust inventory, and all of that. So should make it pretty painless and seamless and efficient. And then Tim, yeah, I saw he sent the FDS-98 stuff to me as well. And I looked it over, and I saw the same thing you did about the first name, last name, you know, suffix or whatnot. And then the only other one I was contemplating breaking up for queries would be the address, because one of the things that we need to determine is whether or not a member lives in Macomb County. And if we know all the zip codes of Macomb County, then I can query the database. And, you know, we have a, you know, I guess even if a member checks in that's not, or you know, a person checks in that's not a member, but their zip code is not a Macomb County zip code, we know immediately that they're outside of the county. And then the same thing would be nice for just the members is to, we do have members that are not technically in Macomb County, but they're right on the border. And so it would be nice to have that kind of powerful query available to us as far as the addresses go, where we can kind of isolate the zip code and kind of pinpoint roughly where they're at in the county. And then, yeah, I'll probably look at that a little bit closer to see if there's anything else in there that I find value in pulling aside and setting aside and separating or whatever, you know. But those are the only two things that I saw right off the bat was the name and the address. So, but I'm going to take a closer look at it when I'm not working. And I also want to see where that's, you know, where that form is spitting out its data, because as Mike, you know, mentioned last night, I think he wants that to be a database. And so I don't know where Microsoft is going to spit that data out. My hunch is it will be in a spreadsheet. And we don't really want it in a spreadsheet. We do kind of want it in a database. So we might have to develop some kind of workflow to get that done, but I'll cross that bridge when the time comes. Over to you, Tim.
Oh, good. Glad to hear that you're already on top of it, John. I sent you my response to Dave on Discord. When you get a chance, don't do it while you're working, but that about the name, possibly the phone number, and the address. I've had it in the past where they just put the street address, don't even bother putting the city or zip, because they're not prompted to. You know, you think maybe that's going to be the next question. But then emergency contact, same thing. We probably should have last, first, relation, and phone number, so four data fields there. And you'll see my other notes. Page two, you can't see unless you fill it out. So if you find out where it's stored, there's a George Patton I registered. And look at old George there, and the second page is the code of conduct form digitally. I like that. That's great. So, yeah, just something to look at. It's very much similar to what we have, but he did add it in other stuff. So it looks like you're already on top of it. I appreciate it, John. That'll work out great. Tom, go ahead.
All right, I'll let you guys finish up on that. I have to get into this other account here and get that all taken care of. You can hear all raspy on right now because this place has paint and thinners and stuff, and my chest doesn't like it. So I'll be back on the bit. I'll say 73 for now, Casey, KGO.
73s, Tom. Good talking to you. This is KE8WUO, and I will definitely take a look at that, Tim. I pulled it up right away. And you know what else I thought was interesting is you have a copy of the bylaws, but they must. They must not have sent that to everyone because I don't have a new copy of the bylaws. Not that I need it. It's just interesting. But, yeah, hopefully that's all going well. And yeah, I think that's all I got for right now. I'm going to get back to the grind here at work, but that. You know, it's like this project and working, you know, with ARPSC is very ADHD friendly. If I ever get a little bored of, you know, working on, you know, the SEC database, then I can work on inventory. If I get tired of inventory, then I can work on, you know, the MyFog, and you know, there's just so much to play with. It's perfect.
Oh yeah, I hear you. Kind of do the same myself. Just, you know, get up, take a break. Then, oh, let me go back to the postcards. I want to get a few of those out. And then, okay, I did that. Now what I can? Oh, Dave sent me something. I'll take a look at this, and that'll take 2 hours out of my day. So yeah, I do enjoy it myself too. All right, John, sounds good. Let's get back to work, I guess. I appreciate the QSO. We'll talk soon. November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. I'll be clear after you, sir.
All right. Well, 73 is to you and anyone else that's maybe monitoring. And you have a good rest of your day. This is KEA-WUO 73.
KEA-WUO, KEA-LAX. Quick question. What is the FDS 90-something? I seen that posted in your briefing that you gave me yesterday. What exactly is that form, real quick?
It's just basically, you know, so when you join ARPSC, there's a form that you fill out on our website, the Google one, and basically all the results of what you filled out go to the FDS 98 form. So it's kind of become the authoritative data location for our members in like emergency contacts, their capabilities, and it's stuff that I'd like to actually pull from, because you fill out things like what your capabilities are for your radio, what bands you can get on, even what your training levels are, you know, if you're level 1, level 2, Skywarn, etc. So that when we're running an actual emergency, you know, I'd like to kind of be able to hover over your name or select your name and select a button for, like, profile, and I'd like to be able to populate a field or a form similar to what I think Tim wants for like a kind of a profile of each member, maybe even with a photo that will tell whoever's running the emergency, whoever's, you know, in that command room, or maybe even just Dave can look at to see what assets do I have in the field and what can they bring to the table. And so that's roughly, probably a lot more information than you wanted.
Nope, that's perfect. Because when I was looking it up, the AARL has a FSD 90 something, but that's completely different. So I appreciate it because I didn't know what it was. So I was kind of like, I'm reading this number, but I don't know how to put it in context. So I appreciate it. 73s, I'll let you get back to what you're doing. I just had that brief question. KEA-LAX, I will be monitoring.
Yeah, in full disclosure, I don't know where the term FDS 98 came from or why we call it that. My hunch is that might be what Microsoft calls it or Google when you make a form, and it's that type of like membership form. It might just have come from them, but I don't know. It's just kind of something I got accustomed to calling it that. So, and that's what it's labeled in our, you know, that's what it's named. So it's got that name from someone somewhere along the line, and I've just ran with it.
That works. At least it allows me to put some context into what was being spoken and said. So I greatly appreciate your overview on it, and we'll talk soon. 73, this is KEA, LAX monitoring.
WADD.
WADD, KCKJL. KEA, FCR, State Flight 1.
Fuel, Foxtrot 8, Echo, Tango, Quebec.
What's up, Darren? How's it going?
Thanks for confirming I could hit up the second repeater in the area.
My pleasure. This is K-E-A-W-U-O. How's Darren doing this afternoon? On to work already?
The day is done, or I'm done with the day. I don't know which right now.
Copy that. I'm still at that work. Just got done kind of quoting a big tool, and it's always a good feeling to move on to something else after kind of a big undertaking. So that's where I'm at. Other than that, what else is new with you?
Not too much. You're kind of going in and out there. I didn't hear you for a second. I got an oscilloscope back at home that just came in today, and I want to see if I can start troubleshooting my HF radio, the QRP one that I mentioned about before. That's not the big one that I have, which is a Zygu. It's a smaller one.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've heard good things about those QRP labs rigs like you have, so I'll be interested to hear what you find out. I saw that you were posting, and it looked like you were getting a lot of advice, and last week was a crazy busy week, so I didn't look into it too close, but what kind of issues are you running into with that little guy?
KZKJL.
Any PZT listening statewide one? Any PZT clear?
JKO,
any PZT?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm up here in Indian River, and it's quiet. We don't have, nothing's blowing. It's nice, quiet, nice, quiet early winter night. Very, very nice. I just got back from having a burger with a friend of mine who works locally here, and just got back from the restaurant. I just pulled into the driveway, and it's very quiet. Not snowing, not blowing, a bit overcast. But other than that, aside from it being cold, as usual, pretty quiet up here.
Well, you just Indian River, isn't that just west of Mackinac? I think I remember you telling me, or am I, staying corrected?
I'm about 30 miles south of Mackinac, right off of 75, exit 310.
Okay, all right, now I remember. Yeah, because I was up that way earlier in the year. So I'm like, oh, Indian River, hey, Steve, there's some DMR. Gotcha. How much snow did you get up there? Down here in Memphis, and we're going to by Port Huron. I think we got maybe 3 inches max.
I think we've got close to a foot of snow. We had a bit of a blizzard the other day. I think accumulations could be greater in the, forested areas and stuff. We got a lot of snow. We got good snow cover up here. It's a good start to the winter. If it doesn't all melt off, I think we'll have a good winter. We're going to want to get a little bit more, though, for snowmobiling and skiing and all that. I think some of the resorts have opened already, but I've got snow in my driveway that really needs to be plowed, so I'm just running over it with the tires to make sure there's some tracks and such. Landlord tends to be a little bit slow to plow and try to get somebody to do it. This year, I'm going to have to try to get a plow truck. I can't go through another winter trying to plow through and getting crunchy ice all underneath my wheels and having my... having an extra weight put on, I get vibration up front. It's not comfortable. And, so we got a bit of snow. We got a little blizzard the other day. Thomas, did you catch that?
Caught the plow the snow. You didn't want to run it over again and get all icy driveway again. I didn't get anything after that, and I lost you.
Must be something with my microphone. I am going to be upgrading my radio soon. This one's fine for what it does, but I think I need to get something a little more robust. I got my eyes on the link to MD-520 or maybe an Anytone 578 series. The Anytone is Part 90 certified, I think, which means I could use it commercially as well. I may end up just getting that. They're about the same price-wise, and I don't know. I was thinking maybe just buying one from Bridgecom and having it all pre-programmed with what I want. They can do all the hard work, and I don't have to do so much interfacing with it. Otherwise, I'm up to the task. I'm trying to get some, I'm trying to learn how to do more of what I have. I recently picked up an FT5D, so I've got system fusion capability now on a handheld, and I like that. That works the way. It's a very easy radio to use. It's touch screen and very easy to connect to the Wires X room. So if we have one repeater that does that. I'm sorry, Kosky one in Gaylord does that. And so I have a BTEC 6x2 Pro DMR handheld, which is a workhorse. And the Anytones are actually good radios. They've got really good marks. The only thing I could do better is if I were to buy a Hytera, but they're really expensive. They're up there with Motorola for quality, but they tend to be a bit pricey.
I got a TYT MD9600 UHF VHF DMR, and they're about $250, and you can program, change the firmware to OpenGD77. And they're pretty fairly easy to program if you're familiar with OpenGD.
What was the name of the radio you had again?
Tango Yankee Tango. And then the model is Mike Delta - 9600, a TYT MD9600. It's a VHF UHF DMR mobile. And I think they're 50 watts VHF and like 35 UHF and 25 DMR. But that's a really good radio, too, for the price. Got a good bang for the buck.
And you see it can use the OpenGD77 software or firmware, rather?
Yeah, you have to change it to the OpenGD firmware. It's pretty simple. I did it. I used OpenGD, and I went in there and got a host file and then got the MD9600. And then I sent it all through, and then it updated within like 30 seconds, and I put my cold plug in it, and I was on the air.
I'll do some research on the 9600 and see how that goes. I haven't had experience with TYT. They're all very similar to each other. This is a Radiodity DB25D, and it's a quirky little radio. It doesn't work at all like you think it does. It really has a learning curve, and you got to be careful. One little thing, like if you have a tone and you programmed it with the software, that's fine. But if you accidentally hit the tone button and you cycle through the tone settings, it'll actually reset it to a zero setting where you have to get in and redo it. So I don't know why it does that. That's a firmware glitch. Firmware and the hardware aren't really working together there. So this is also marketed under Retevis for the incarnation before this one. And then there was one more before that. And it's the same basic radio with different firmware. It can do a lot of stuff, but trying to get it, it works most of the time, and it does its job pretty well. It's a little 20-watter, and for $239, you really can't beat it.
Yeah, the TYT, the MD9600 is around the same price, and you can get it from Amazon, or I'm not sure if PX Electronics has it, but I think Amazon usually sells it in a package deal with an antenna and stuff. But yeah, check it out. I mean, my coworker, I mean, I got a pro. When I got it, it already had OpenGD on it. But I use the same OpenGD 77 firmware change for my MD-1701 handheld from Baofeng, because it's OpenGD compatible. And it slipped right in there, and the 9600 the same way. You just the whole file, and then the MD-9600 firmware file, and then you just send it down to the radio, and then boom, you're done. So it was pretty cut and dry, pretty easy teasing. If you know OpenGD 77, then you're good to go.
I haven't had the opportunity to use that firmware. Like I said, my VTAC 6x2 Pro is based on the Anytone AT878 UV2 Pro, if memory serves. I just call it the 878 series. The 578 is the mobile unit, and that's a very robust mobile unit. That's the one I really want to get next. And it's got, you know, the Part 90 certification. I think it might have that. I got to check it. My VTAC is. That's Part 90 and Part 97. I use it at work once in a while. They have some itinerant frequencies, and they're using Motorola's, but it's, I've done some of the just light programming on their handhelds. It's just to switch the channels around, so they work with what they had. And mine's certified for it. It's a little noisy. The Motorola's have better background noise suppression. Mine sounds kind of like a little bit of a tunnel, but it could have better, there could be better metering, better transmit on it. I can actually get in and adjust the transmit electronically with different thresholds, so I might be able to noise blank it out a little better, but it would take a little bit of doing, and I don't use it that much. I use it sometimes when others are using the other stuff, but we don't really use the radios that much, not on my shift. So just I'm the only one there. I'm the graveyard guy. So I don't really use radios that much.
Gosh, what do you do, security on the midnight shift? Oh, I might have lost you there for a second.
Yeah, go ahead. Try again.
Oh, I said, what do you do? I might be in a bad area. I'm just about to pull into my street.
I saw WEAP. Eric, did you want to come on the channel there?
Yeah, I'm in my home GPS, and I know this is kind of sketchy on the DMR. But hey, Eric, I got a couple of those health things. If you want a couple, I'm not on a whole test of microphone.
Yeah, Tom, it's getting a little hard to understand you there. You said a couple of something available, and that I didn't get the rest of it.
Let you know if I need any more. Yeah, it can't be an MD-9600. Great radio. Anyhow, I just went through and heard you guys talking, so I'll catch you tomorrow. I'm supposed to meet up with Davian and Greg, so maybe we can all meet up tomorrow sometime. Like I said, I already got one. I don't want to take them all, you know, unless I have a taker, but I'll ask around. But yeah, they appear to be a little bit different than the run-of-the-mill ones, you know what I mean? So, all right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. 73WEAP.
73 Eric and.
All right, Eric Thomas, this is Stephen up in Indian River. Nice talking to you, gentlemen, tonight. Have a very restful sleep. Talk again. Be clear. NAPZT. Out.
KFAS from WAEAP. Nothing heard. W8 EEP clear. Fades from W8EAP.
W8EAP, KF8S.
Yeah, I'm testing out the record feature, and it's working. So, I don't know. Got the latest firmware in it, and the record function does work perfectly. I just played back some earlier recordings. I erased them, now I'm checking them again.
My question to you, is it only, I think it's only DMR, right? It doesn't record analog?
Correct. There's no record function in the analog side. It's not a menu item. It's only a menu item when you go to digital. Like when you go into the settings or whatever. You're on analog frequency, it's only like four topics. Then you go to DMR, it's like eight or nine different topics. So there's more settings for DMR.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm going to try it out here and just turn mine on. Do you have a button map to it, or are you just going to the menu?
Well, you go in the menu, it's just a switch. You pick a channel, and then you turn the record on. I don't know if you can turn it on and off on the fly. I don't know. Maybe. I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah, I did it while you were talking. So, yeah, you can turn it on while on and off while people are talking.
It's cool because we're not anywhere near 50,000 contacts or whatever it was from the factory. 15,000 or 50,000? Yeah. So, like you said, there's only about 6,000 active DMR people in the last 6 months. They don't filter out dead people or people who don't use the radio. So, you really don't need that many contacts.
Yeah, you can fit all of Michigan. I think there's only 6,000. If, you know, if we just put Michigan only, it's like 6,000. Like, add Ohio, it's another 6,000. So, you know, if you picked just around you, I mean, that's it. So, but Brandmeister, you can go into Brandmeister and you can pick, you can do like a search. You know, if people were active on Brandmeister, you can pick that. So I just picked the Michigan talk groups, including the one that this one's mapped to on Brandmeister, and just did a dump, a CSV dump, and just corresponded that with the big master database, and it's only like six. I mean, I put different talk groups. I put like Kansas City Y, which has a really big random assortment of people. So and even that, it was only like 6,700 like you got.
Yep. Works for me. And I can go in there, like take Gary and put Gearmeister. So when he keys up, it'll say Gearmeister instead of Gary. Just search out the person's call sign and put a custom entry. Anyhow, all right, I just wanted to test this out. I'll let you get back to what you're doing. I'll catch you on the other radio, W8DAP.
Sounds good, yeah. I can see your text message. I'm dealing with some stuff right now. So I'll be on in a little bit. I'm just going to get my head to settle a bit. KF8S.
KE8, LAX, KY1.